This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hello and welcome. Oopsie-daisy. Hold on. We've got a few technical issues, not with with my feed. We're hoping to get Vicky right on, but she's struggling to get on onto the to thing, and I'm trying to help her out at this as we speak. Anyway, so yeah, here we are, extra timeline, phone-in show. It's another week. It's the same old story again. Three games into the start of the season. It's almost like deja vu from last season, with the exception that we have actually got scored one goal, which was a mishit shot, I should say. And we do have 1 point. So we are one goal and 1 point better off than last year. Come on, let's do this. Progress. Oof, pumped up for it. And we've got some fantastic guests. And as I say, we should be having, hopefully, Vicky Wright that's going to join us, which is Billy Wright's daughter. She's trying to log in on her phone, but she seems to be having a little bit of technical issues getting on. But she's going to try a laptop. But we have got some fantastic guests and pundits already lined up. We've got Josh, Jack, and Craig. Craig, if you remember him, he is the brass band man. Josh is the marching band man. And Jack is just a damn cool man. So, you know, we've got him. And then we might have a bit of Scott who runs a football team. But we're going to be bringing up first up. It was going to be Vicky. But Vicky hasn't made it on yet. So we're going to go and bring up first young Josh. Hello, Josh.
You're right.
It's like we could almost be in the same room.
Same room, yeah.
You know, I've got my conservatory here. And you're in your conservatory. This is where YouTube people hang out, in the conservatory, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the right place to be.
Absolutely. And how are you?
All good. All good, all good. Had a good few weeks, had a good week away, and then back for the weekend of football and sport.
Absolutely. And it is, we were just talking about the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium just before we came on, and you, I don't know whether it was you or Jack that said it's like they've dropped a spaceship in the middle of a housing estate.
Like Jack said, I think it's random air that it looked completely out of blue.
It was Jack, yeah.
That it looked random air it set up. Like I know the old White Hart Lane suited it perfectly. But the new stand, you coming up through the housing estates and the coach, you're looking up and thinking, what's that?
I know. You've been before, though, haven't you?
Yeah, so we usually go on the train, but because the train strikes this weekend, we went on the coach. And when you go on the train, you're coming into White Hart Lane station, you can see it from about two or three stops away. And you're like, it absolutely, what's the word, takes over the landscape of the area.
Absolutely, mate, it really does. And we've already got 78 like watching live in the chat, so please smash a like on the video. And I do want to say, before we get started, a massive big thank you again to Wolf Life, because they are powering the show, pay for the live stream, which is good. And if you're interested in getting a life insurance quote, they're a local Bilston-based company, actually. And there's a link below, and you fill in the form and you get entered into winning a Wolves shirt. So don't miss out on that. Mate, it's always good to have you on, mate. You always talk a lot of sense and stuff like that. And you try to go to most of the games. And we've got quite a few people already live in the thing. So if you do want to get on the screen, you're guaranteed to get on if you send a super chat, supports the channel. But I will try and pick out some questions as well for the pundits as well. I'll try and keep an eye on that. Just let us know where you're watching in the world. Josh, how did you come away feeling from that game yesterday?
Disappointed, because I thought, in the grand scheme of things, I thought a 0-0 draw would have been right. It was just that one little lapse of concentration from Nathan Collins, who I thought would have been superb all game. And that ball comes into the front post off the corner, and they flick it on, and it brings the whole defence forward, and he loses his man, and Kane nods it in.
Kane does. I mean, that's what he does best, isn't it, Kane?
Yeah.
He's always there, ready. I have to say, mate, I thought Collins had a fantastic game.
Yeah.
I thought he had Kane in his pocket. His quality. There's one thing I said on my blog, and if you've seen it, but there was a ball over the top through, and it looked as if the guy was clean through on goal, and he came across and got a tackle. Yeah. That was fantastic. A lot of blocks. But the thing is, in the Premier League, when you're against world-class strikers, and you have to say Harry Kane is a world-class striker, whether or not he falls over a lot or not, he is a world-class striker. And you a split second, you lose someone like that. They're there, ain't they? They're poachers.
Those fine margins.
Well, that was the difference, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that was the difference. They've got a world-class striker that, in one moment, is in the right place, and he ain't going to score much easier goal. And we had 20 shots, and I think there was out of 20 shots, someone tell me if I'm wrong, I think we had 3 on target, something like that.
I think
I'll have a look on the old BBC and have a quick look. I think we definitely had 20 shots, and I think we had something like 3 shots. Here are the stats from that game. I'm going to read them to you, Josh. I'm going to read the stats out to you now. It was 50-50% possession. They had 11 shots, 4 on target. We had 20 shots, 3 on target.
Yeah, you need to put them chances away, don't you? Like you said in the Premier League,
20 shots and only 3 were on target. And we don't score.
We should have put 3 of them. There's obviously the Nunez's header across goal.
I thought that was so unlucky. I thought he was a brilliant pick out from Neves. He ghosted in. It was a good header. And if he'd have just been a foot the other side,
the keeper's
like, not going to get it. Yeah. Or it just went
nowhere
past.
Near it. Nowhere near. It's like those fine margins. We just need to get, once we get a goal, I think we'll be all right. But it was like a game of 2 hours again. First half, all over him. Just needed a chance to score and just didn't take it. And then second half, I thought once Moutinho come off, the midfield, the space is open massively. Once Moutinho come off, I thought you marshalled the midfield really well up until he come off. And then it just, the gaps seemed to be found and gaps were opening. And they were getting through a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it, Josh? It's like the fine margin. But do you not think that we've been saying this now for at least a year, two years?
Yeah.
It's we've been saying of, you know, having the shots, not scoring. I mean, I've taken heart in the positive that they seem to have loosened the purse strings. Obviously, the Fulham game, you know, all the key movers and shakers were in a room together. You had George Mendes, you had Chairman Gow, you had Scott Sellers, you got Bruno, you got Jeff Shear, you got the entourage. Lo and behold, straight after that, we've gone and bought Nunez, who I think is a great acquisition.
Yeah.
And it's great that we also saw that Raul came on, and I thought he had a decent cameo. But he didn't have a shot.
No. No, he didn't have any clear. And there was that one chance where he put it across and it landed. I've still not watched Match of the Day back or any highlights to see how close Dendonka was to it. But it looked like he could have just put a toe out and put it in with Dendonka. But it's one of them. It's just still early doors, but you just wanted to see us get a few goals.
We do need to see a few goals, don't we? You know, do you think the goals are going to come?
I'm hoping it's like last year was, where we come up to the League Cup game against Forest, put four past them, and then once we got that, we started to make a move a bit. I'm hoping we do the same against Preston on Tuesday, get a few past them, and then take it into the league game against Newcastle.
And what sort of team do you think they're gonna play against Preston?
I think, because I'm still with the squad depth, I think it'd be a bit of a mix. I think you'll still see one of Collins or Kilman with the likes of Tauti or Mosquera.
Yeah.
And possibly...
do you not think Bolly will play?
I forgot about Bolly, actually. That's a good point.
I mean, there is rumours that Forest have offered £1 million for Bolly.
It's like... Which would be interesting. Yeah, it's had a full possibility. Either Bolly and Tauti then, possibly. And Semedo at right back and Bueno at left back, potentially.
Who's going to be at left back, did you say?
Bueno. Hugo Bueno from the under-23s.
Who do you think is going to be the midfield pairing?
Possibly Donk Moutinho and Nunes, maybe. Or Kundal.
Yeah, I think he'll play one of the young lads in midfield. Yeah. He might play Moutinho again to get him a bit more minutes. Game I time. Thought Moutinho did really well to do 65 minutes when he's been injured, and he's 35. That was incredible. And who do you think he's going to play up front, front three? Do you think he's going to stick with them so they can try and get some goals? I will say this, that Wolves are crap at scoring, and Preston haven't conceded a goal in 5 matches.
No. I didn't realise that until I saw someone put it on the comments.
Yeah, they have not conceded a goal. A lot of nil-nils. They don't score much.
So we could be on to... Did they do... Is it second legs in the League Cup, or is it straight to extra time and penalties?
I don't think there's a second leg. I think it goes straight. I don't know whether it even goes to extra time. Tell me, does it go to extra time on the thing, or is it just straight to penalties?
I think it could be straight to penalties, thinking about it, actually. Because who did we play after Forest last year? That went straight to penalties at home. Sure it did.
I mean, Dini Outdoors is one of the international fans, says, considering injuries, new system, new players, losing captain, judge this team after 10 games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you've got to do. I mean, it was refreshing on the couch. The amount of things you see on social media, it was refreshing on the couch. Literally everybody we were sat by was saying the same thing. You could see there's something there. It's just that final, like I said to you on the other day, it's that final click that we're just missing.
And Kat says she's really excited to looking forward to a 0-0 on Tuesday. And of course, talking about goals, I mean, let's talk through the results today, man. Look at the results.
Leeds winning 3-0 in the end, it was, wasn't it?
The results today. Leeds have beat Chelsea 3-0. Brighton have beaten West Ham away 2-0. Newcastle and Manchester City 3-3. Yeah. It's like, what's going on? It's like West Ham, you know, where did they finish last year? Seventh?
Seventh, because they're in the conference.
Well, they've played three, lost three.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Chelsea are on 4 points. Man City have dropped a point. There's only Arsenal that got a 100% record.
Yeah, and they've been on fire. They've been brilliant, they have. Pains me to say it.
Well, we ain't got to worry about the likes of Arsenal and stuff like that. I mean, from what you've seen, and I know Craig might have a different view on this when he comes on, what you've seen, are you worried? Are you concerned?
Not yet. It's still three games in. I still think there's games to come where we can get a few goals and pick up a few points. But at the moment, I'm not worried as yet. I'll give it a few more weeks and see how we fare.
But a few more weeks. I mean, you know, a few more weeks. I mean, what is a few more weeks for you, mate?
Probably coming up. probably coming up to the international break in October.
So how many games is there?
About six.
Six games. Let's have a look at the fixture, shall we, over the next six, over the next...
Let's have a look.
Right, let's have a look. In fact, I'll go on to the Wolves app. It's probably better to have a look at it on the actual Wolves app. Yeah. In fact,
Newcastle next Sunday.
Let's have a look. Wolves official website. Here we go. And then let's go on to men's first team. And let's have a look. So I'm just going to try and share this. Share screen. Hopefully Chrome tab. Let's bring this up. Is that coming up okay?
Yeah,
you can see.
Yeah, if you scroll down, it'll do it.
Fixtures. So we've got Preston. We've got Newcastle at home. Bournemouth away on a Wednesday night, which is really annoying because it would have been a nice bank holiday thing. Yeah. You know, and it's the last day of the month, which is a pain for everyone. It's a long way to go. Then we've got Southampton at home.
Yeah.
We've got Manchester, followed by Manchester City. Liverpool away, Manchester City at home, West Ham away, Chelsea away, Forest at home, Palace away. I mean, looking at that,
it's a bit of a tough
international break. So that's the international breaks after Manchester City. So if you're looking at Newcastle, Bournemouth, Southampton, Liverpool, and City, how many points are we getting out of that?
I'd go seven.
7 points. So go on. Yeah. Where are we getting the points from?
Draw against Newcastle.
Yeah.
3 points at Bournemouth. Three points against Southampton.
Seven. Okay. I'm going to ask the same question as well at some point of everyone else. I personally think I've seen some really good positive signs. I said on my, did you watch my instant reaction after the game? Encouraging. I changed it from frustrating to encouraging because I was frustrated that we didn't score and didn't come away with at least a point. I thought we earned a point. I thought we were absolutely magnificent in the first half.
Yeah, the way the ball flowed through midfield and we were going forward. I mean, we're on a bit on the couch in the way, but Nunes fitted in like a glove.
I thought he did well. Bearing in mind, he's only had 2 days training. Guedes has only had a week. So they've still got to learn the system. I thought some of the play, I thought we would have been the home side in the first half.
Yeah. So the way the ball moved across midfield and from the full backs down to the wingers, I thought it worked. I thought Guedes looked strong. He just needed someone with him. So I thought Pedence had gone missing again. Neto looked a bit on his own, but he was getting down the wing here and then, but he was having to deal with Perisic all game, backed in as like a wing back more than a winger. But I thought it flowed and we had our chances. We just didn't take them. And like you said, we need to start taking them really. But I thought the way we moved the ball, it looked promising. It didn't look as if like we were a team without ideas.
Peter Yam Yam 54 is one of my members. And if you want to become a member, you can do. It's in the they've all got the little wolves and we've got a little Discord group. You're on there as well, aren't you, mate?
Yeah.
Support and stuff like that. So but he's got a question here. He's worried over the manager. Are you worried?
That did loom in my head last night when I got back. I was thinking, if this sort of run carries on, are they going to be quick to pull the trigger with the players we've now got, with the likes of Nunes, keeping Neves, Moutinho's back, Raul's back. Guedes looks okay. Will Fowson look at pulling the trigger if it stays as it is?
It's 10 games without a win in the Premier League.
Yeah. I know people are dragging that from last season, but I think you've still got to take this as the new season.
I agree, because we did have a lot of injuries. We faded away and stuff last season. Yeah. And the other thing that you have to say is that up until this point, okay, that we had a debate last year about Bruno and if Lepetegui was available. And we had a little bit of a debate about that. But like, this is a new season, and the thing that I'd like to think is, up until this point, and until we see what happens with the rest of the transfer window, the focus of the Wolves fans' frustration and anger has been aimed at Scott Sellers, Jeff, and the board for basically saying, look, some people said, I don't blame Bruno if he doesn't walk, he's not been backed.
Yeah.
You know, you can't blame the manager, he's not been backed. Now they're starting to give Bruno the tools to do the job. They're starting to give him the players that he wants. So it'd be interesting to see what happens in the next week and if they do bring another striker in, which I think they need to. Yeah. And then the focus goes, right, well, they've given the manager the tools, they've given him the players, we've got this squad. The focus then comes more on Bruno and what's he going to do with that.
Yeah, it will, unfortunately. And I was thinking that last night, because when you look at the team now, really, and the formation we're playing and the way we're playing, it now is his team. We can't use that excuse now of it's still not his team, because you've got Guedes in, you've got Nunes in, you've got Collins in. That's basically partly a new spine.
Yeah.
And the way we're playing now is the way he wants to play. So that will come into question, I think, over the next few weeks if it doesn't change, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, you know, it is frustrating when we've been to 10 games in a row as a Wolves fan at the end of last season, this season. Okay, we did that nice little break to forget about it. And we were never really in any danger last season, because we, up until sort of February, we were like, you know, even March, we were still dreaming of getting to Europe.
Yeah.
Kilmer got injured, and then, you know, we had injuries and we sort of fell away towards the end, but we were always safe. The thing is, we started this season against Leeds. I thought, again, in patches, we were the better side and we didn't take our chances. Against Fulham, we started off like a train, really good, and we should have won it. And we, you know, we could have lost it, but we got a point. And you saw what Fulham did yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, scoring three against Brentford, who had gone to United the week before and won 4-0.
Yeah.
And then against Tottenham, who, you know, I've got them as an outside bet to win the title. I have Tottenham with
them.
I know it sounds daft, but they've got a great manager, and stuff like that. And we made them look ordinary for the first half.
Yeah.
And we weren't out of it in the second half. So we looked magnificent at times. We looked like a top six side.
Yeah.
And we just can't. The one thing that makes the difference at Premier League level, you can play all the lovely football in the middle of the park and do all if you don't finish it in the 18-yard box of both, if you look at the 18-yard box of both teams, Kane scores, we don't.
Yeah.
You know, we got into position, scuffing the shot. We're just hitting it past the post. Free kicks just go wide. That run from Raul, when he ran and the ball sort of fell, but it just didn't fall to one of our players. Is that because they're not in the right place, or they got lucky? We just needed a little bit of luck. And it was just so frustrating. Mate, what moment of the day for you?
It's got to be, because we took our neighbour. He's only 15, and it's his first away day. So we took him with us, and because excited on the way down, and he was looking forward to it. And to be fair, like my dad said to his dad, saying, we're spoiling him here, taking him to Spurs away. It's his first away day. And we got him in there, and because we got him before 2 hours before kickoff, with the coach getting there. So my dad and we let our hot dog, we said, let's go and take him in whilst it's still empty, so we can see what it looks like at its full appearance. And when he went, you could see, he said he was impressed with the ground and everything for his first away day. The atmosphere that we had as well on the coach and in the game, he really enjoyed.
Who did you travel with, mate?
We went with Hatherton this time, so we usually go with Hatherton, but I know for Leeds, we couldn't get on, really struggled to get a ticket for the coach. We went with Tata for Leeds and then Hatherton for Spurs yesterday.
I take it you're going on Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah, Tuesday. I'm going Tuesday. Yeah, I got my tickets for that. And
are you going to Bournemouth?
can't get to Bournemouth. It's going to be a bit of a
nightmare for everyone.
A nightmare to get down to that one.
You're going to Liverpool?
Liverpool, we're getting the tickets for that one, so we should be going there for that.
So fantastic, mate. And your man of the match yesterday?
Man of the match has got to be... I'm trying to go for the team now. I want to say Collins. I know he left his man, but I think Collins had a brilliant game all game. He didn't put a foot wrong until that goal, and even after the goal, he still kept going. So I'd have to give it to Collins.
Collins, I thought he did do really well, to be fair. And what did you give your performance rating?
Performance rating, I'd probably give it a 6 again.
Six. Okay. Yeah. And what's your favourite? This is the question tonight. Your favourite flavour of ice cream?
It's got to be mint choc chip. Mm-hmm.
See, mint choc chip is nice. I'm not going to give you mine. I'm going to keep mine to the end because I was always a mint choc chip, but I kind of think I might have a new favourite.
Ooh.
You'll have to wait and see what that is, man. I'm telling you. Okay, so, I mean, looking ahead to Newcastle next week, after today, you think we might get a point? You're not confident about anything else?
Just the way they played today, they look quite confident. And so the only thing that's sticking in my mind is that that was their game for the next few weeks, where they've spent a bit of energy on it, and we could possibly nick something. But I'll take a draw against them because they're a solid team and they've been playing all right at the moment. So, and they've played brilliant against City today, to be fair to them. So I'll take a draw.
Fair enough, mate. Absolutely fair enough. It's an absolute pleasure as always having you on, mate. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Let's hope that we can get back to the final question before you go. Striker, who do you want to bring in?
I was on about this in the pub last night with my one friend, and because obviously all the links are going round at the moment with Ramos. But one name I'd like to see us go for, and it's been mentioned before, and I think you mentioned him last week, because I think he'd bully the Premier League defenders like he's doing in the Championship. It'd be Ben Brereton, a.k.a. Ben Brereton Diaz.
From Blackburn?
Yeah.
How's he started the season?
I'm not sure, actually, now I've said that. I'm not sure. I know his record in the Championship the last few seasons has been good, and I know he's quite a strong and has a bit of a presence about him up front, but I'd quite like to see...
Yeah, I tell you, I'd love Ivan Tony, I would.
Yeah.
I think he'd do so, so well in our team. He's just quick, good in the air, strong. The goal he scores against Fulham, I just think he would feed off. I wouldn't mind Ramos either. And I want to fully fit things, but we can't rely on Raul anymore.
No, he's 31, 32 now, so...
I think he's, we hope that he comes back and he is the role that he is. We've been saying that for 2 years, and I think the pressure needs to be taken off him. And with 5 subs, you need another option anyway.
Yeah.
So we definitely need to think. I think Fabio's doing really well aboard in Anderlecht, and he'll come good for us next season. But we've got to go in, and if they go in and get the striker, and they've got one thing, the onus is then on Bruno.
Yeah, it is.
He's gone all in on the back four. Anyway, thanks ever so much, Josh. Brilliant. Much appreciated.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for having me on.
See you on the next one.
Cheers, Dave.
Cheers, bye. So that's Josh with his thoughts, because we want to talk about what I wanted to mention whilst we've got it on about the Billy Wright story, there you go. So she's got the Billy Wright story at Cannock, and she was going to go, it's about her dad's life and stuff, and she was going to come and talk about that as well as watching the match yesterday. So hopefully she'll get on. But we're going. That's it, the Prince of Wales in Cannock. I think there's already over half the seats already sold. So I'm just waiting on her to type, and she's gone to stop typing again. Anyway, so we're going to bring Jack on next. Here you are, Jack. Hello, mate.
Evening, Dave. Evening, everyone.
Basically, just to let you know, we've invested in some extra lighting for Jack for this week.
Yeah.
And your wallpaper is actually quite interesting, Jack.
great, isn't it? Yeah, it's a B&Q special.
B&Q special, because we do like our wallpaper.
Yeah.
Over here on the channel. Again, you would have been, I mean, you hardly ever miss a game, Jack, to be fair.
No, I try not to, yeah. But,
and how's your health at the moment?
All good at the minute, yeah. So it was a long day yesterday, to be fair, but because obviously the boxing was on afterwards, wasn't it? So stayed out at the pub to watch that. So it was a long old day, but yeah, it was good. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, Vicky's just sent a message. She says, I'm going to give up, been trying. I don't know what else to do. So sorry. Right. So, Jack, long day. You're not wrong. Who did you go travel down with?
We were with the official Wolves. So we went from Molyneux, 8 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah.
Oh, you went from Molyneux on the official Wolves coaches for that. Yeah. And did they have a stop off on the way?
No, straight there. I think we got there just after 11. So, because obviously half 12 kickoff is not a lot of time before the game, is there? So, yeah, straight in, really. But,
you basically got there in the nick of time. So, my day and our day was me and the producer set off about 6:30. Then we went to pick my dad up for his first away game since the 1950s because his dad was a Spurs fan and he'd been saying the last 2 or 3 years, oh, can I go? And a friend of mine who's on holiday had a ticket. So we took him. He loved it. Now he wants to go to more, doesn't he? He's 85. And we went down. We had a little picnic at the back of the car in the sandwich box. We had about a 20-minute walk to the stadium. Had a bit of a walk around, as you do. I met up with Chris Cowling, who's a Tottenham YouTuber. Did something on his channel. Got in. And obviously, it was brilliant, wasn't it, the first half? Said at half time on my match vlog, if we don't take our chances, we know what's going to happen. And it happened again. I mean, what were you saying at half time to your friends?
Exactly that. We were saying, this is as good as we've seen in a long, long time. But we need to take advantage of our dominance. If you watch other sports, rugby's a really good example of this. The best teams, when they have territory and possession, they turn it into points every single time.
Yeah.
You watch New Zealand, South Africa, whenever they get into the opposition area, they get something, penalty, try, whatever it is. We just don't do that. We have spells of great possession. Leeds was the same, 20, 25 minutes. They couldn't get the ball off us.
Yeah. But
we had 2-3 shots in that time and that was it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, first half, Tottenham couldn't get near us. You know, we dominated the game. We controlled it. We moved the ball beautifully. Great tempo, great rhythm to the play. Their goalkeeper didn't have a save to make, did he? Yeah, and that's the real frustration. We're talking about, yes, we need a strike. Of course we do. But it's chance creation more than chance conversion that we're struggling with. You know, it's not as if yesterday, if we'd have had a striker, we'd have won the game because we didn't create enough chances for that striker to have scored. It's just whenever we get near the edge of the box or into the box, we just seem to run out of ideas. There just doesn't seem to be any confidence. I will say the one thing that was a real positive on that front yesterday was Guedes, because there were 2 or 3 times where he got into that position and he had a shot. Now, okay, they went wide or sort of dribbled back to the goalkeeper, but he'll score goals doing that this season. We've talked about it when he was linked to sign, wasn't he? We said he gets the shots away early and that's how you catch goalkeepers.
Yeah, that one just flashed past the post, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that, like I said, that was one positive really going forward. If we can have these spells of dominance in terms of territory, if we can get someone like Guedes or a new centre forward that can create these chances, we'll be fine. It's not necessarily converting chances. The Leeds game was because we missed 2 really good chances in that game and it cost us. Fulham and yesterday wasn't missing chances that cost us. We didn't create enough chances to begin with.
Clint Thornton says we only created half chances.
I'd agree with that, yeah. I can't think of a chance where you think we've got to score that. I can't think of one way. I mean, there was the Neves free kick that went wide, wasn't there? The Nunes header that went just past the post. They're good chances, but they're not gilt-edged where you think that's got to go in. If they go in, great, and you've got your reward for your possession and your dominance. But we didn't create a chance where you think that's got to go in. Whereas you look at the goal that Tottenham scored, Kane has to score that goal, doesn't he? And the position.
Well, you do well to miss it.
Yeah,
we can't miss from there. Well, I mean, I've seen people miss
from
there.
That's it. But how many chances have we had this season like that where we can't miss? You know, all the chances we have, it's a tight angle or it's a bit far out or the ball just doesn't sit right or the pass is a bit over hit or under hit. We just don't seem to be able to create that golden opportunity to break the deadlock. And, you know, and we did it at Leeds, didn't we, with a bit of a scruffy goal. And then once
the one goal that we have scored was a miss it.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, you know, and sometimes that's kind of what you need. If you think back to last year, I mean, it's almost like Groundhog Day. We started similarly last year. We were playing good football and not getting the rewards that we probably deserved. And we were down low in the table. We went to Watford, fourth, fifth game, scored an own goal and a bit of a tapping from Wang Chan, didn't we? And we won 2-0 and we're all going, that's great. And sometimes it's not about smashing one in from 25 yards or a brilliant 20 pass team move that gets you the goal. It's just a bounce of the ball or it's a deflection or an own goal that just gets your season up and running. It just doesn't feel like we've had that at the minute yet. I mean, if you look at the Leeds-Chelsea game today, the first goal that Leeds get when the goalkeeper's trying to dribble the ball, trips over his own feet and leaves an open goal. When does that happen to us? It just doesn't, you know, do you know. And we just need something just to go for us. And like I said, I think Guedes will help in that sense. And I think if we can get a striker in that can hold the ball and bring others into play and run the channels a little bit, that will help in terms of getting us up the pitch. But we just need to create more chances. Yes, we need to take chances when we get them, but we need to...
When you say create more chances, because we did have 20 shots, you mean create clear-cut chances, you know, not quarter chances, not half chances. And we will score the odd half chance, but you mean get into a position like you see a lot of the teams do. They carve a team open and, you know, 9 times out of 10, you score in that goal, that type of chance.
Yeah, that's it. It's good opportunities, isn't it? I mean, if you think back to the Fulham game last week, we had lots and lots of really nice, intricate interplay, but struggled to really test their goalkeeper. The best chance that they had was the penalty. It was just a ball through the middle, just one ball through the middle. Nothing complicated or anything like that. Just one ball into the right area. The player made the run and all of a sudden Aitner hurries the wrong side and brings him down and it's a penalty. That's the kind of thing we need to do. It's okay, nice passing and the rhythm was great yesterday and the tempo, but you've then got to create it and turn it into those opportunities.
And if you're like the coach, and I'm sure Scott, when he comes on, because he's like a manager of about 7 teams and the chairman and probably he's also like in charge of transfers and everything as well. But like when he comes on, I'm sure they have an opinion on this. But if you're Bruno Lage and you're the coaching team, what are you doing to fix that? Because it's all right just turning around and saying, we're having all this nice play, we're getting some good stuff, but we're not creating the clear chances. Why aren't we creating the clear chances? What is it? Is it because we haven't got that man up front, like a key number 9? Is that the reason?
I think that's a big part of it. I think what we need is someone that's just going to hold the ball and get everyone else 10, 15 yards further up the pitch. What's going to help us, and we saw this yesterday, Kilman and Collins bringing the ball out from the back. That's going to be really helpful because that'll push your midfield 20, 30 yards up the pitch. They don't need to drop into central half to collect the ball. They'll bring it out to them. That will help. I think I think if Neto can find a bit of form, he's been well off the pace in the last
couple. Neto was kind of almost playing as a wing back yesterday?
I think he was, but I think that's Tottenham specific. I think that's Perisic more than a general. Yeah. You know, when we play Bournemouth, Southampton, with the greatest respects to those teams, I don't think he has to do that as much. When you're playing Tottenham and they've got Perisic and Son on that side and Kulusevski coming across and switching at times, you do need your wingers to drop in and do that job. And Johnny had to do a lot of covering inside that sort of almost like a right centre-half, didn't he, at times? I think that's why he struggled second half. He was just exhausted, I think. But I do think we're on the right track with the new system. And I think Nunes, again, not outstanding, but you saw enough to say this guy's going to be a really good player. And again, him bringing the ball forward, we just need to bring the ball forward a little bit. We're almost starting our attacks 10, 15, 20 yards too deep. We're giving the opposition defenders just a little bit too long to get in position, a little bit too long to get their shape and get organised. If we could just start our attacks a little bit further with a little bit more tempo, a little bit more aggression, a little bit more pace, I think we'll be all right. If you look at Newcastle today, for example, they've gone up against the best team in the country and they've frightened them because they've attacked with aggression and with pace and with purpose. And that's not quite what we do at the minute. It's very, very intricate, very, very precise and accurate what we do. But it lacks a little bit of viciousness at times, if I can use that word. We don't frighten teams. Teams are probably quite comfortable defending against us. You know, they know we've got good players.
That's not a position to be in. We'd want them to feel uncomfortable. We want them to feel that when we lose possession, we want them to be under pressure to get the ball back straight away. We want them to... We play some great football and we get into some decent positions, but the final ball and everything seems to not quite be right. And I think, you know, I'm kind of on the point where, from what I saw yesterday and what I've seen in the last couple of games, I'm excited by the potential that we can explode. It'll click and we'll start. But we just seem to be that one piece of the jigsaw, just always one piece of the jigsaw away. I think Nunes, you can see what he brings to the team, and he's only had 2 days, so he's only going to just make us stronger. I thought the midfield, I actually thought when Moutinho went off yesterday, it changed. I know that Tottenham came out, which you'd expect a reaction at the start of the second half. We kind of weathered that to a point. But when Moutinho went off, because he obviously his legs went, we never really got control back, did we?
No, and I think, again, hindsight is great, isn't it? But for me, that the change at that point was Kundal, because I think he's much more suited to that Moutinho role than what Dendonk. Dendonk
is a different, Tottenham last year and really
of,
well.
Different type of midfielder, isn't he, Dendonk? He's tall and he can break the lines and bring the ball and make those runs. He made a really good run, actually, for the Jimenez sort of chance, but the ball just didn't break for him. But Kundal would have been more suited to doing what Moutinho was doing, just recycling the ball and just picking up those 5-10 yard passes from Neves and Nunes and just spraying it a little bit, you know, not sort of breaking the lines and sort of the diagonals. That's not Kundal's game. That's not Moutinho's game either. But I just think we perhaps needed to just make that like-for-like change rather than just bring on our most experienced player and change how we played a little bit. That didn't really help us.
Is that the manager's fault in terms of the tactics? I mean, you know, I'm going to ask the question just because we've gone 10 games without a win. Things are changing. You know, we scored one goal, which was a miss it. The board are starting to back. Where are you with? I know where I am at the moment. Where are you with Bruno? Do you think, you know, how long do you think a manager can get without winning a game of football in the Premier League before that, you know, they start to think, oh, hold on a minute. How long's he got?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because we've been saying for a long time he needs to be able to bring his own players in, change to play his own system and do things his way. And then we can judge him. Well, now we've got that opportunity. But it's how long do you give him before you go, actually, it's not working? Because there's an argument to say, well, actually, now you've got Nunes and Guedes and potentially a striker like Ramos or someone coming in. If there's a better manager than Bruno out there, they're going to get far more out of this group of players. So if Bruno isn't producing the results in 5, 6, 7 games time, then there's an argument to make the change then. I said to you at the end of last season, the time to make the change was the summer. If they weren't going to back him completely, move him on, bring someone in.
Well, this is what we said, wasn't it? If they're going to keep him, they've got to back him. Yeah. And they kind of are backing him now. But we could have done with these players 3 weeks ago.
There's an argument, but what I'd say is, in terms of bringing players in, we've waited to get Nunes, and it's paid off because he's come.
Yeah,
they could have gone to the start of August and gone, oh, he's not going to come in. We'll go and sign someone else instead.
Well, he was waiting for. I think there was something that they'd give him till the 15th if someone was going to come in with Champions League, and then if not, he'd come to Wolves, wasn't he? And then it said that Bruno went over there. Obviously, they've got him and he's here now. When he came in as well, the words, it's interesting when he came, his words, what he said, there's a lot of players that come in like, I'm, you know, fantastic playing for this club. His words were, this is the good step, the next step in my career. It was like, I've come, I want to play in the Premier League, but you can see his aspirations ultimately is to be playing in the Champions League. Every year and stuff. That's where he sees himself. But he has signed a 5-year contract with a year option. So Wolves, you know, he'll be settled at Wolves for at least the next couple of years. And he hoped that he's one of these players that can drive us on. I think it's also a big thing for Neves as well, keeping Neves. That I think that Neves has obviously must have spoken to Bruno and the board, because he could have gone, and obviously it hasn't happened. But like, he probably wants them to show ambition, to back his ambition. So bringing Nunes in as well, and what the and Guedes and stuff like that, especially now he's effectively club captain, is key to keeping the likes of Neves for another year, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, like we've said, that me and my friends, we kind of said we're probably 10 out of 11 there in terms of the team. We're just missing that striker. Sarr's a great goalkeeper. The back four were great yesterday. That midfield three, Nunes, Neves, Moutinho, not many better in the whole division.
Well, I don't think there's much better midfield. There's hardly any better midfields in the world with those three in the middle. I mean, they're an international. You know, you could say they could be the Portuguese international midfield, potentially, the three of them. I know they've got a couple of other players, but they're all Portuguese internationals in the middle of the park, you know. I mean,
who are we going to support at the World Cup? Because half our players are going to be playing for Portugal, aren't they? So,
well, obviously, you know, England, but then we'll always have a good eye out on our boys playing for Portugal.
But I do think we're just missing that central striker, that guy who can hold the ball up and just reduce those number of passes. Because again, yesterday we get to the apex of the box or to the byline, and it's three passes to get it into position. You get a striker and hold the ball up, it becomes two. Into him, back out, shot away. And then that speed of the pass then into the shot is a lot quicker. The defenders don't get set.
We have got the players, and we've got the players in all over the park that can open up any defence. To be fair, if we've seen it in some of the pre-season, some of the intricate balls. I mean, the thing is, you think obviously losing Morgan has cost us a little bit in that, because he plays some of those little balls slightly different. And what do you think about the sale of Morgan Gibbs-White and the timing of it after we bought Nunes? I think if they'd have done it before Nunes, there would have been a bit of a thing afterwards. Everyone seems to have gone, well, okay, fair enough.
I think that's right, isn't it? And again, I think if you look at it in terms of the sale of Gibbs-White has funded the signing of Nunes, I don't think any Wolves fan would disagree with that or be unhappy about that. And I think with Gibbs-White, I think if you were to write down your best Wolves 11 at the minute on paper, I don't think he gets in. He's a great player to have on the bench and in the squad. And if we get injuries and rotation, I'll get that. He's going to be a really good player, I think, in 2-3 years' time. But right now, he wasn't a key. He wasn't a Neves, was he? You know, we wanted to keep Neves at all costs if we could this summer.
Neves and Neto, you'd rather sell Morgan over that. I think, to be honest, if you're thinking of, we've sold a player for upwards of 42.5 million who's unproven in the Premier League and played in the Championship. And it's like, there's other players that have gone that are proven Premier League players. I know it's 25 million plus there's about 10 million definite add-ons, and then there's about 7 million on top, which are possible add-ons. But it's good money. Now, the thing is, has he come in to fund Nunes, or has the money to fund the striker?
Well, I guess we won't know, will we, as fans? That'll just kind of become apparent as the players out, whether we do splash out on a new striker, whether it's a loan to buy or whether it's a straight loan. I mean, we don't tend to do just straight loans, do we, as a club? It tends to be, if we loan a player, there's an option in there to make it permanent if we like the player. So whether we can do that with someone like Ramos at Benfica or Evan Ilson at Porto, so we get him in for a year.
Who would you have out of the two?
Out of the two, I'd probably... I've only seen little bits of both of them, to be fair, so it's difficult. But I'd probably go Evan Ilson. I think he's just a little bit further on in his development. But I do think Ramos is going to be a really good player. The player that I'd like us to go all out for and get is Brozier at Chelsea, who was at Southampton last year. I think he'd be ideal for that physical, aggressive striker that can hold the ball up and bring our players up towards the edge of the box and just make us a little bit more aggressive in attack. I think he's the kind of player that we need. Whether we can get him, I don't know. Whether Chelsea are going to keep him, because obviously they've sold Lukaku and Werner, haven't they, this summer? Whether they think he's part of their plans. It's probably one that's going to go right to the deadline, isn't it? And he's probably, along with Conor Gallagher, for example, at Chelsea, only going to become available at the very, very end of the window when they've got their squad settled and they're like, right, this is who we've got. So now you, we can move you on. So whether we just keep our powder dry until the end of the window and end up with a really good player, or like we said earlier, do you go now and strike and get the best one that's available now? Or do you say, actually, our number one target is this guy, and if we have to wait till the 31st of August, then we'll wait? That's the big issue that Wolves have got at the minute, isn't it? Because we'd all really love a striker in for next week, wouldn't we, for the Newcastle game? But if the best option out there isn't available till after that, do they wait and potentially drop more points? Or do they just go and get someone that's available now to make an instant impact and potentially miss out on a better player a week down the line? I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, I think someone will come in. Jack, your moment of the day?
I'm going to pick one that happened on the pitch. There was a pass from Saar into Collins. It was literally first 5-10 minutes. And he really struck it into him. And you could see Kane and Son closing in. You thought, there's trouble here. But Collins just waltzed past them, little step over, and just pinged the ball down the line casually. And I think that's so crucial to what we're going to do going forward in terms of the back four particularly. But the two centre-halves now we've got in Collins and Kilman are so good on the ball that they're going to be able to just drag the whole team further up the pitch. You saw that with that just that little moment there where instead of having to go back to Saar and maybe put it out for throw-in or do it himself and just boot it into the stands, he actually said, no, bring it on. Yep, you can come and press me. I'm going to go past you. I'm going to start an attack. And I think that's real indicator for me of what we're going to try and do going forward. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that develop. I mean, they're both very, very young as well, aren't they?
They could form a fantastic defense. I mean, Bruno's gone all in on the back four because obviously Cody's gone to Everton. So, you know, he's literally gone all in on the back four. So, and Kilman and Collins look amazing for such young lads as central defenders, and defenders tend to mature a little bit later. So I think they're going to be the central two for a long, long time for Wolves. Your player of the match, man of the match?
Man of the match, I'm going to go with Moutinho.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was really good when he was on, and the team lost all its shape and structure when he went off. So I think he was the sort of the main factor in why we were so good when he was on the pitch. So I'm going to pick him as man of the match for that reason. I think he had the biggest impact on how well we were playing, and we missed him badly when he went off. A performance rating, I'm going to go with a 7. I thought there was some really nice bits to see. I mean, I think sometimes you've got to give credit to the opposition. I thought Tottenham changed it round, whether Conte gave them a rocket at half-time, more than likely. But they were very, very good second half. As good as we were first half, they were good second half.
Yeah.
And so it was difficult to kind of for us to maintain the standards that we'd set against a team that had just stepped up a gear. And we know with these teams, the Tottenhams, the Arsenals, the Liverpools, the Manchester Cities, they've always got the extra gear to go. When you think, we're all right here, we're doing well against these, bang, step it up and they'll take it away from you. And that's what Tottenham did, to be fair. Second half, they were better than we were, in the same way that we were better than them first half. So I think, you know, 7 is about right. I think we were very good first half. Second half was a bit more of a struggle. You know, we weathered storms at times. The goal came at a really bad time, didn't it? Was it 64 minutes? So have you got 25 minutes left, something like that? So it's almost bang in the middle of the half, isn't it? And all of a sudden, you've only got 25 minutes to get yourself back into the game when you've been struggling to get in front in the first place. So, I'm going to go with a 7.
Yeah, well, Graham says, Tony Cascarino on Talk Sports said Wolves are the best team I've ever seen that can't score. And Santino, I don't know what worry means, what worry's watching. We are the new Burnley, solid defensively, but can't score goals. I ain't being funny, mate, but like Burnley don't play football like what we play football. And I think they actually conceded a damn sight more goals than what we did last year as well, to be fair. Favourite flavour of ice cream, Jack?
I've seen a couple of people mention it in the comments, rum and raisin. You can't always get it. It's a bit of a speciality flavour, but it's very, very good. So I'm going to go with that one.
And rum and raisin, absolutely fantastic. Jack, as always, lots of common sense. We always love your contributions on the channel. If you've enjoyed Jack's contribution, please smash a like on the video. Leave a comment in the comment section below. And leave your questions. We've got another one coming up, which is going to be very interesting. Jack, thank you so much, mate.
No problem. Thank you. Cheers,
see
everyone.
See you on the next one, pal. So that's Jack. And just before we go on to the next one, I just want to make everyone aware of something really good that you need to check out, to be fair. So I'm going to just share this with you. Actually, I'll bring on our next guest first. Where is he? Craig. Hi, Craig.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. Just hold there a second, because I'm just going to share this with everyone. And I want you to, I want everyone just to be aware of this. So we've got a fantastic website, which is alwayswolves.co.uk. It's a brilliant website. And if you can look down the left-hand side, we've got a match report here. And this comes after every game as well as the things. So we've got a match report from Dave Porter. We've got also, which is coming out, which has come out today, six things we learned from Spurs. This was done by James Haller. Incredible recruitment, need of a striker, wonder kid from Porto, consistency is key, positive formation, aging like a fine wine. Some brilliant reading. And then we've got player ratings. This has been done by, who's this one been done by? It's been done by Nick Park. So player ratings is on there as well. And we've got the international fan, and we've got a really good article coming out tomorrow, which is all about strikers Wolves could potentially go for. So what I would suggest is everyone make sure that you bookmark the alwayswolves.co.uk website. We put a lot of effort into it. We've got some great writers, and you've got regular content every single day, apart from obviously on the YouTube channel as well. So I don't know if you've had a chance to read any of that, Craig.
Not yet, no, Dave. And happy new Premier League season to you and everybody else.
Well, you've got a beautiful house, Craig. I mean, I can see like you've got your piano in the background there.
I must own my grand piano as well. Yeah,
Mike, you're so musical. You can play grand piano. You know, you play the tuba.
Yeah, I do. And the organ. So I'm afraid so.
And Adrian already wants you to play a tune. He remembers you.
I will play a tune when Wolves scored 10 goals. Okay?
Wait, so that'll be next season then, eh?
Well, it depends. I think that the fact that we've been the best team for five sessions out of six sessions this season by a long chalk, and we've scored just one goal, and it's a simple thing for me. Jack touched on it, but not the way that I read the game. He's on about a striker holding a ball up, and you can't do that in the Premier League, Dave, because defenders are far too good. Our issue is speed of ball, speed of shots. Our forwards want to take more than one touch every single time. If you remember the ball through to Ryan when he went through, great football, and he wanted to take that extra touch, and the defenders come you know, straight through him, and goal again, and We just seem to me, I remember a few years back when George Graham's Arsenal, they played some amazing football and they couldn't score goals. And they always wanted that, you know, extra touch, and they wanted to walk the ball into the net. And we seem to be doing that same thing at the moment. And that's confidence. And our strikers need to go back to instinct. Pedence is a nightmare for me. He's got so much skill. He's an amazing player, but he always wants to take that one extra touch, which takes him away.
Do you think he's been, but he is having to play out of position? He's not a natural striker, is he?
No, absolutely not. But he still wants to take that extra touch. Where I mean, the change in the game yesterday for me was that we absolutely bullied Spurs first half. We sort of played them off the park. And they are my tick to finish top four, Spurs, this season.
Oh yeah, and me.
And we murdered them. And we murdered them. And yet the second half, Dave, the only difference was with their speed of play and their speed of movement. And it's all about pace.
I have to agree.
And we just want to take that extra touch. and we lose an opportunity because we take 1 or 2 seconds to get that ball through. Four times in the first half, I said to my wife, there were four through balls from Wolves. And I said, that is so good to see, because there was absolutely none of that last season. And we had four really, really quick through balls, and we did nothing with it. And Guedes, I mean, there was a pass from the right-hand side, Neto, and that ball was literally 3 inches too far behind him for him to get that, you know, shot off. So for me, it's about speed. But I am very, very concerned, Dave, because...
Well, I saw you put in the members' chat. I mean, yeah. You know, Craig, I think it was, that's why I said, like, obviously you got a few words. I mean, what were you saying?
When you lose 12 out of the last 15, that starts to get to your headspace. And we can see this. I mean, our back four yesterday was superb. Absolutely. Those are two... centre halves, we're just immaculate. You know, you can moan about Collins losing Kane for that goal, but he's a world class striker, Dave, and he's going to do that at least once a game. And he did it.
It's a bit old, isn't it? The near post flick on. You don't see that much off. That should not have been allowed to have even been flicked on in the first. It was Ait Nori that should have been first to that ball.
Absolutely.
And then Kilman, Collins is following the flight of the ball, and he gets caught by the flick on.
Yeah,
and obviously Kane does what Kane does. He split second bang, and he, like you say, he's a world class striker, and he's not a world class striker with the, you know, the scoring record that he's got. Records everywhere. He scores goals like that against everyone.
Absolutely.
Whatever the level of opposition, because he's just world class. He's a world class diver as well, but he is a world class finisher.
Yeah, but I mean, if you can think, if you were a back eight, you'd be worried sick about making any errors, because if you're going to make an error, we're going to lose the game. Because we have absolutely no ability to create clear chances.
Do you think we have no ability, or do you think we have the ability? We're just not executing because we haven't got that central striker type person that.
Like
Jack says, I get where he's coming from, because if you've got someone that can hold the ball and then bring the others in around that can. Keep the ball. If it keeps coming, you've got that one person that can link everything up, and it's like that's what the number nine does, isn't it?
It's the movement, though, Dave. I mean,
yeah, the movement,
the one brilliant move, the Neves ball into Nunes. I mean, that Spurs were clueless, and his movement was so quick, and
it was brilliant.
It was an immediate pass, so that there was no structure about it. It was bang bang,
instinctive.
Oh, absolutely, and that's what we've lost: the instinct to play the quick ball and the instinct to get a shot away straight away. We are so nervous now about not scoring and making the most of our chances. We're thinking about it, and the moment that you think about it in the Premier League, it's gone. The chances are gone.
You know, 100% right. Do you think that once we get the first goal, and because my feeling is this, I'll be honest, and I've kept it into my thing. It's like, I think we need to get the striker. I want, with more than anything, Raul to be Raul like he was. And I think he still could be, you know, he saw glimmers yesterday. He's not been fit. He could be, but we can't rely on Raul. But I personally believe, because I'm always so optimistic and maybe not, you know what I'm like. I personally believe once we get the first win, we're going on a run. We're putting two, three wins together. That's and results together, and the confidence will come through the team, and the goals will happen. I think we're so close. I think most Wolves fans can see that we're so close to it being just happening. And when it does click and the confidence comes, I think we can. I really think we can go on a run. I'm still confident. Now, guys, I'm going to say this out loud right now on the channel. I said it after three games last year. I said Wolves will finish top eight, and we should have done. That's after three losses. And I'm telling you now, if we get the striker in, Wolves will finish top six. That's where I'm at. If we don't, then I still think we'll be safe. But you worry about the relegate, the R word, don't you, Craig?
Yeah, because you know, you look at Leeds, you look at Fulham, you look at our side. They can't touch them with a barge pole. Our side it looks absolutely brilliant, even without that elusive nine. Raul, for me, looked a yard quicker when he came on yesterday than he looked last season. So
he's determined. You can see he's determined. He has got that summit about him, Raul. I mean, that little run when he knocked it through the legs, muscled past, and he creates a bit of chaos, and that's great. And we want to see more of that. We want to see a fully fit Raul with confidence, because he is an instinctive goal scorer, which is what we're missing.
Absolutely.
But we cannot rely on Raul Jimenez anymore. We cannot. As much as I love him, and all the Mexicans love it when Raul scores and stuff like that, and I love Raul Jimenez, we cannot rely on Raul this year. We've got to go and buy Ramos or someone that can, you know, to compete with him, to take the pressure off him.
Can I put a slightly different sort of slant on what you just said? I think that we can rely on Raul, but when he gets injured, we've got no backup whatsoever. Yep. That's the issue. So, and the other thing, Dave, is that I think that we've got a first 11 that could finish top four if we could score. And so
my dad thinks we're going to win the league.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw that. I think, well, that might be a bit too far, Dad, but you know.
Magic. Dave, what we need to see and what the team, I think, need to feel, we need to have two or three games where we score more than one goal. We need to have two or three games.
I've been saying it the last 2 years. Someone is going to get an absolute tanking off us. There's going to be a game. There's going to be a game that's coming. I can see it in my mystic teacup. There's going to be a game coming. Someone is getting a tanking off Wolves. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And it's going to be like this alternate universe is going to drop down above us, and everything that we hit is going to go in the back of the net. It's going to happen this year. Oh, I have been saying it for a while, but it's going to happen.
So, three games, Dave, where we need to score more than one goal. As soon as we do that, we are on our way. There's going to be nobody to touch us. Man City, maybe. Liverpool. There's been some strange results today. I mean, Chelsea being absolutely battered off the park. And I thought they looked really
great
really
last good. Week. They played Tottenham off the park as well, didn't they?
Absolutely. So we look great, Dave. So my glass is not empty. We look great. But when you've got two and a bit seasons where you cannot put the ball in the onion bag, you have to be concerned.
Mate, 100%.
And so my feel is that something's going to change. Nunes' movement was amazing. Guedes makes those late runs. He looks great. Collins and Kilman look to die for. Our keeper looks amazing. Johnny's reliable. Ryan needs to learn that his first job is to get goal side of his player. Although, yeah, to be fair to him yesterday, Nunes looks great going forward, but he doesn't like running back. Ryan had 2-1 against him on at least 10.
He did well. We have to remember that Ryan Aitnori is 19 years of age, playing in the Premier League. He's
absolutely
a young lad. And yes, he makes some mistakes, but he's always so positive. I mean, I stood literally, obviously, in the away end, and I saw the effort that he put in chasing back. He's got legs on him. He just there's just that little thing. It's a bit. It's better than vinegar to me.
Vinegar.
Tomato. I think tomato could be the answer. You know, as well. He looks like. You know, I think he might start next week. Tomato.
Donk. Donk's got desire and he works really hard. But you saw the class gap, didn't you? When Martino went off and Donk came on, it was like chalk and cheese. We could do with Martino 10 years ago. Neves looks great, but he just needs to get that ball away quicker. He's one of the issues that just wants that extra touch for me. His vision and whatever.
If you look at the, was it Neves that did dink the ball in for the Nunes header?
Yeah.
He's got really that big, in, you see. And really Neves, he looks every bit a captain. You know, he's talking to the ref. He's G'ing the team up. It's a joy to see that he's really, absolutely loving taking on that responsibility. Now Cody's got, and he needed to step on. He's a born leader. He absolutely loves the club. You can tell. And he really wants success. And I just want success for all of them. They want it. We've just got to get that jigsaw piece. We've just got to get the goals. It's going to happen. I feel positive. I mean, your moment of the day yesterday?
That ball through and the fact that it was 3 inches either side and we'd have scored the goal. Can I make one last point, Dave? I'd be really, really interested in your views. Neto's performance yesterday. I personally thought he was over elaborate, and when he did get past his man, his final ball was quite poor. He never cleared. In fact, I think he cleared the first man once for the Guedes chance, but he got past his man 3 or 4 times. But his final ball was just awful.
I think you can say the same with Pedence as well.
Yeah,
Pedence has, you know, I love Pedence, I love Neto, but both of them, Pedence has had 2 poor games, but I'm going to say that he was playing as a false nine. Neto didn't have the best of the game, and I think like what Jack said, I think it was because of the who he was up against that forced him back a lot, especially in the second half. He needs to have a better game. They both need to have a better game. Thinking Guedes, I thought he's got something. He's got a shot on him as well. Guedes has. We didn't score, but he can hit the ball. He's got a shot. The goals are going to come. Let's fingers crossed. Your man of the match?
The back two, Dave. Both of them.
You'd have to pick one.
Yeah. Oh, you come on.
It's not men of the match.
Okay, all right. Okay. Collins for me. I thought he was superb. And that one error against a world-class striker, I'll forgive him for that. My favourite ice cream.
It can happen to anyone, mate. I thought he was magnet. Apart from that one moment, which was the key moment, I thought he had him in his pocket pretty much the whole game, and he's going to be fantastic signing for us. Your performance rating?
8 for the first half, 4.5 for the second half. So 6.5 overall, because we can't score.
6.5.
Yeah.
And your favourite flavour of ice cream?
Yeah, it is B&J's fish food. I love
Ben
& Jerry's fish food. You never had it? Oh, it's amazing.
Food ice cream? Joking me?
No, I'm not. It's got chocolate fish inside the ice cream. So the fish are about that big. And you get your spoon in and you pour the ice cream out, but with a chocolate fish in. See? That's why I'm so slim and lithe, Dave.
And how's the brass band going, mate?
Yeah, really well. We're rehearsing really hard now. We've just done a CD over a weekend of original music, and we are now rehearsing for the Nationals on the 17th of September down at Cheltenham Racecourse. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, mate, stay on at the end, you and Josh, because there's something might be coming up. We might need a little bit of help on the old brass side with my band. So I need Josh to stay on and you. I'm not guaranteed happening, but it might be short notice and it's something quite big. Okay. So I'll have a chat to you and Josh quickly at the end. Mate, absolutely brilliant to have you on. I love how you always say it how it is in the right way. And if you want to get Craig on again, guys, smash a like. What? How many likes have we got on the actual video now? Come on. How many likes have we got? Someone tell me how many likes we've got. Because we've had over 100 watching the whole time. We must have over 100 likes on the video. Someone will tell me. So, yeah, thank you. We've got 50 likes. There's 141. Come on, guys, smash that like button. Let YouTube know you want Craig back. Stuart says, well done, Craig.
Yes, Stuart.
I'll take Craig. Hey.
Yes, Tom.
152. Come on. Strawberry lost yesterday. The Tractor Boys. Okay, I don't know what that is. I must have missed the conversation. Chris says it's scandalous we've only got 50 likes, and it is. And you know, if you're brand new or if you're watching and you want to comment, all you have to do to be in the comment section is subscribe for 1 minute and you'll be able to join in the conversation. Neil White also says, well done to you, mate. Thank you so much.
Cheers, Neil.
Chris says, I don't always agree with Craig, but he always makes his point well, which is what it's all about, isn't it, mate?
Absolutely, Chris.
Fantastic. All right. Cheers, Craig. Speak to you in a bit.
Cheers, buddy. Take care.
So that's Craig with his points. Again, I just want to say a big thank you to Wolflife for powering the show. Much appreciated. Enter the competition to win the Wolf shirt. The Wolflife link is in the description below. If you're brand new, make sure you subscribe, hit the bell notifications, and you'll be able to take part in the show. And you can also follow Always Wolves on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm on Instagram, Dazzling Dave, and I'm also on Twitter, Dazzling Dave. And if you want to see dancing videos, which I won't be doing, but I am on TikTok as well. fantastic. So last but not least, we have a duo. We have Scott and Young. Who we got with you, Scott?
This is Caden.
We have Young Caden. Now, the reason that we've got Caden today is because Scott is basically waiting in the wings to take over from Bruno Lage if he ever leaves. there's a scouting team down at Bushbury Hill. And you saw the first half. You didn't see all of the second half, but Caden watched the whole game.
Yeah, so me and Caden watched it on Sky, the first half. And then I had to shoot off to go and play a football match. But this one stayed and watched the whole game.
Fantastic. And Caden, welcome to the channel. Great to have you on Always Wolves Fan TV. Is it your debut?
Yep.
It's your debut. This is a young lad. And how old are you, Caden?
11.
So you're 11. So you probably talk a lot more sense than your dad. Is that right?
Yeah.
So we're going to go to you first, Caden. What did you think of the game yesterday?
I thought it was brilliant. We had a couple of chances in the first half. But the second half, I thought Tottenham did more and well played. But the first half, it was good. We just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. Like, so many times we had loads of chances with that new signing. What was his name? Nunes. Yeah, Nunes. And the other new signing. Guerres. You all
right? Guedes,
yeah.
Yeah. And, so we had really a lot of chances.
Fantastic. And did you enjoy? So you enjoyed watching the game? You're excited about watching the Wolves play yesterday, Caden?
Yeah, but hopefully we can get a win next time because we need one.
We need to score some goals, don't we, young man?
Yeah.
And do you play football yourself, Caden?
Yeah.
Oh, right. What position?
A striker or a centre mid.
There we have the answer. Caden, we need you. You'd play up front for Wolves, wouldn't you?
Definitely.
you think you could finish some of them chances, mate?
Yeah, I could put the ball into the back of the net.
He's actually known in COVID for only scoring Neves-type goals. So
he's known for scoring Neves-type goals. So you can hit from distance as well.
Yeah, off it from the halfway line and scored.
Really?
Yeah, it did.
So you've got a shot on you then?
Yeah.
It's quite. Definitely. So you reckon, like, if you'd have been out there at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium yesterday, you'd have finished a couple of those?
Yeah, definitely.
I love it, mate. He's a great young lad, man.
I know, he loves fantasy world. He really does.
Nah, it's fantastic. So, Scott, your thoughts?
I thought the first half was really, you know, good to watch. I thought we played really well. We were dominating for large parts of that game. Tottenham didn't look like they were going to get in at all. And when they did, I think Collins, Kilman at the back ran it fine. Saar as well was clearing up. But then when I went home, I mean, went to the game and then found out that we lost, it was a bit of a shock. But then I got told after, and I've seen a bit of the highlights, you know, Tottenham did play better in the second half, and it was typical Harry Kane fashion, scoring on the end of a flick-on, basically.
Yeah, it was a flick-on, mate. I mean, you've obviously got the first three games of the season, and how are you feeling about the season as a whole, early doors?
It reminds me kind of, I think it might have been last season where we didn't start off well, but then we hit the ground running a little bit. I don't think there's any panic stations at the minute. We are playing some decent football. We are trying to play a new system. Some big names, you know, like Cody have gone. We've got bigger names coming in. It's going to take a while before we hit the ground. Don't forget we've got Raul coming back from injury, Traore coming back from injury. What's good to see is we've got Neto starting from the off, playing. And then that Collins, I was 50-50 about because I wasn't sure about him and I didn't really know much about him from Burnley. I know like they rate him really highly, but he has done well for us since he started with us. Kilman's showing proper leadership qualities as well. And this new system, I think it could work and it could get us goals. It could get us up that table again. But we've just got to be patient with it. Bruno's, you know, probably my only pet peeve is probably we should have got the signings in a lot sooner. So we could have had them in pre-season. But I get, you know, with business and stuff like that, it's not always a possibility. But what we have to do now is understand that, be patient with it. And once these new signings get their feet wet, so to speak, you know, they're going to hit the ground running and the team's just going to take off. Like you said as well, Dave, this midfield could potentially be the midfield in the Portugal national team. That's how good they are. So it's one of them where we've got to have faith in Bruno and what he has planned.
You've got to keep the faith. I don't think the fans are turning on Bruno at this point. I think they were frustrated with as I said earlier, with the Scott and Jeff because they weren't backing him. I think now they're feeling a little bit more positive about the fact that we're getting signings in. I think they're feeling positive. There's lots of positive that you can take out of every one of the games that we've played, and especially the first half against Tottenham. But the big concern, like you say, is, and it's going to cost us if we don't start scoring, it's the bit which wins your games, and that's scoring goals. And, you know, that's something that is a concern and a worry, but not panicking at the moment. Because if we weren't creating any chances or having any shots, and we were just not doing anything, you'd then really, really, really worry. The fact that we're having shots, that we're trying to play progressive football, that we're getting up the pitch, maybe we're not moving the ball as quick as we can do, and it's not coming off quite at the moment. We're not getting that little bit of luck. But if you keep doing those things and you keep improving on the little margins, and we do get that roll back playing, and we do get another striker in, I personally think it'll click into place and the goals will start to flow. I feel more positive about that this year than last year because obviously we didn't really have any. I mean, Raul was not on it, and then we were playing five at the back. I think the four definitely makes us more attacking.
Definitely. I think as well, like, Everybody in that team at the minute is used to a certain system, and it's going to take a while to adjust to a new system. Now, some of them who've come in, Collins came in early, didn't he? And he went with them to pre-season. But the rest of the lads that are around them as well, all went on pre-season, learnt this. It's only the new signings.
And also we had players out injured as well, of course.
Yeah. And you've got these new players are the only ones that have got to learn this new system. But with the fact that we had pre-season learning it, and we didn't do too bad in pre-season.
No.
So for me, I do think all it is just a little bit of patience with it. And these look like, you know, results will change into wins. And when they do, I do think we're going to get into another top table finish. And I do think we'll be challenging for the Europa League area places again.
I think so too, mate. I mean, I'm going to lay my stall out now and I'm going to say that we're going to finish top six based off us getting the striker in and getting role fit and getting another striker. I think so. The way I look at it at the moment, yeah, we've not won. We've not won in 10 yet from last season. That's not great. But there's definite positive signs. We've had injuries. You've got the likes of Semedo, Raul, Moutinho, Wang, all coming back from injury. Obviously, I'm gutted about Chiquinho because I think he could have added something. We'll come on to Traore in a minute. I'm going to ask you about that and ask the people about that on Traore. But then you also think that we've bought in Guedes and Nunes. And as long as we keep hold of Neto and we keep hold of Neves, I think this team's more than capable of finishing top six and easily.
With Neves, he was one of them where he said the reason why he came forward in the beginning is he believed in the project.
Your sound's gone.
It's gone.
It went for a second. It went very quiet.
You hear me now?
No, you're very quiet.
Oh, weird.
That's better. Just lean forward a bit, that's it.
No, what I was going to say was, Neves, when he first joined us, believed in the project. And in order to, in my opinion, in order to keep Neves at Wolves, you need to show that you're still trying to build towards our project. And you look at the signs we brought in, Neves sees that. He's also got captaincy now. The next stage, realistically for me, is he does sign a new contract.
I think Neves will sign a new contract. I think the new contract will consist with a buyout clause if there's a Champions League club that comes in for him. And I think it'll be a high amount. But I also think that Neves wants reassurance that Wolves have got the ambition. Because if they ain't got the ambition, they don't want to... The likes of Neves don't want to be sitting playing in a team that's playing for nothing. They want to win things. Moutinho has signed another year contract. He's never failed to win something with every club that he's been at, whether that be the League Cup or the FA Cup. Why can't Wolves have a go at the League and the FA Cup? I mean, we always go out in the League Cup in the second or third round every year. We can go a long way in that.
Bruno, when he first joined, if you remember when he was talking about the Cup, he said he's going to play his strongest team because he wants to win the Cup.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I think it was, wasn't it? Like, the first round, you could see just straight away from the first game in that Cup how strong that team was. And you knew that this guy was taking it serious. And then
I think he'll go fairly strong on Tuesday. Yeah, because
he will, I reckon.
I think... They want to start. I mean, Preston haven't conceded a goal, so they've obviously got a decent defence. But like, building confidence in front of goal is by playing and scoring goals.
I guarantee you, Raul will start, Traore will start. Obviously, the keeper will change. I think Kilman will still play. I think Collins will still play. It'll be, you know, like I probably think like Semedo hasn't. Did he start against Tottenham, Semedo?
No, but I think he will start Semedo. Yeah, definitely. I think he'll start at least. He might start Nunes again, and I think one Conoronan or Kundal will come in. Dendonker will probably play.
Yeah.
Wang will probably start. You know.
And I think
we've got a lot of options that we can bring in. I think it'll be a reasonable choice. And I have to say, fair play to Wolves as well, because the pricing is fantastic that they've put out for the cup games. So hopefully have a good crowd there as well. I don't know if you're going.
I'm not going to Preston. I went to Leeds and I was sat in the Billy Wright in Leeds.
Yeah, the pricing's really, really good. I mean, it's like £12, £9 and stuff like that, which is great. So they'll hopefully have a decent thing. You know, we've got to. They need to I think they'll go reasonably strong because they want to try and win the game, score, and hopefully score a few goals. And if you do that, and also it's a good opportunity to get the likes of Semedo fitness, get Roll some fitness, get Wang some fitness, you know, players like that that can get some minutes in them. Because we've still got, I mean, we're not playing, when is it we play, is it Newcastle on the Sunday? We don't play Newcastle to the Sunday. So we have got, like, you know, 5 days. So I think you'll see that happen. Do you have a man of the match for yesterday, Caden?
I think Neves did really well.
You're going with Neves. And overall, because I've got to ask you, because you saw the whole game, your performance of the your performance rating?
Of 10,
I'll
say 7.
A nice 7. And your moment of the day?
Probably was when Neves did that free kick. Because that, if that went in, that would have been great.
Fantastic. And Scott, how's Bushbury going?
Last night we had our presentation night. Many a drink shared.
Did you win yourself manager of the year?
No, God, no. But we made it bigger than what we did last year. Last year, we were in a place where we couldn't even use the toilets because the roof had caved in.
Not good.
Not good at all. So, but we were in the Clarendon for this one.
Yeah.
And, beautiful there. Good atmosphere. More numbers than we had last time. More trophies and stuff to give out than last time. Because obviously we had a lot to celebrate for the season just gone. Like, we went to Spain for a tournament. We've done a lot of charity work as well. And obviously we had our two league seasons. And we're coming now to the end of our pre-season for the new season. So we're looking forward to it now.
Are you having another new kit this year?
No, we're keeping the one that we used last season. We're having a new kit next season. It's
going to be lost your sound again there.
Sorry. It's going to be, we're keeping the same kit as last season.
Yeah.
But the next season, when we come back next season, it's going to be our kit.
Fantastic. And your favourite ice cream?
For me, it's just chocolate. I just love any double chocolate.
Anything chocolate. What about you, Caden?
Chocolate.
Well, I'm going to reveal my fact, because I do like my mint choc chip, but I've discovered recently salted caramel. Is that what it's called? That's nice, that is. Salted caramel. Have you tried it?
No.
If you like chocolate, you'll like salted caramel. It's absolutely beautiful. It's like a toffee flavour. It's nice. So I'm going to go with a salted caramel. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the channel. Thanks to Wolf Life for powering it again today. Hopefully we'll catch up soon, mate, at some point. That would be nice. And thanks to everyone in the chat that's contributed tonight. It's another 90-minute show, so you get your value for money. So thanks for sticking with us. If you've enjoyed it, smash a like. If you're new, subscribe. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, please leave us a rating. We much appreciate it. And until the next one, from myself and everyone that's taken part tonight, that's Josh, Jack, Craig, Scott and Caden. And we're sorry that Vicky couldn't get on to talk about the Billy Wright story, but you can get your tickets. It's on the 20th of October, 7:30. And you can get it from the Prince of Wales Theatre. I've got our tickets to go to that. Hopefully get an interview with Vicky on the night as well. And, you know, look out for some more competitions on the Always Wolves socials. And, of course, make sure that you check out the Always Wolves YouTube channel and, of course, alwayswolves.co.uk. Thanks, everyone. What's that? Oh, I thought it was a rabbit.
Oh,
it looked like a rabbit because he's got his face back to us. It's, I wonder what it was then. I thought you got with his floppy ears.
You can turn around.
What's your dog's name?
Toby.
Toby. Anyway, from all of us and Toby the dog, always Wolves.
Always Wolves.
It's the 90th minute. all your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.